The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Mark. Jesus and his disciples went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus asks his disciples, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for they had argued with one another who was the greatest. The question of Jesus, "What are you arguing about?" reminds me of road trips with a backseat full of noisy, bickering kids. As soon as I ask, "What's going on back there?" everyone quits talking. They're worried they'll all be in trouble, so they get quiet. As a parent, Jesus knows what's going on with his children. He knows they're arguing over which of them is the greatest. Their minds are once again on a worldly kingdom, not the kingdom of God. Jesus has just told his disciples for the second time that he will be betrayed, killed, and rise on the third day. But they have no idea what he's talking about. So they talk among themselves about what's most important to them. Who's the greatest? When a rabbi was teaching, when he was really making a pronouncement, he sat to do this teaching. It was his way of letting the hearers know, this is important, pay attention. And this is what Jesus does. Jesus sits down, calls the 12 to him, and says, "Whoever wants to be first must be last and servant of all." This is the upside-down kingdom of God. Greatness in God's kingdom belongs to those who the world says are last, those who are servants. This was not an easy teaching 2,000 years ago, and it's not any easier today. As 21st century Americans, we understand this desire to be the greatest and to be first. It shows up in all of our daily interactions. As the sales clerk approaches the group of customers, we're quick to say, "I was here first." And who hasn't felt a little thrill as we quickly pull into the first parking place nearest the entrance to the department store, beating out the other car who also wanted that space? Like the early disciples, we want to be faithful followers, but we want to be great too. Significant, successful, winners. These feelings are all very human, but they're not the way of Jesus. Worldly goals are driven by winning, owning, having, controlling, consuming. Followers of Jesus are called to live spiritual lives, lives that are different from the rest of the world. To do so takes humility. We don't hear much about humility these days. Not a hot topic. But for all right relationships, you need humility. About 1,400 years before Bill Wilson put together his life-changing 12-step program for AA, Saint Benedict wrote his 12-step program, 12 Steps of Humility. The first step in each of these 12-step journeys is the admission of powerlessness. And this is a place no one wants to go. There's a story of the person who came to the wise one for help. "Do you really want a cure?" the wise one asked. "If I did not, would I bother to come to you?" said the disciple. The master said, "Yes, most people do." And the disciple said, "But what for then?" And the wise one answered, "Well, not for a cure. That's painful. They just come for relief." Changing our life, giving up the goals of the world, can feel painful. But humility is the only cure for a culture totally immersed in individualism and self-centeredness. There are many different names for this. Franciscans call it poverty. The Jewish name is the desert. The New Testament calls it the way of the cross. But these are all the same courageous and necessary first step to take before we begin to let go of our ego, our will, our desire to be the greatest. After telling the disciples that they are to be servants of all, Jesus takes a little child and says, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me." If we welcome the child, we welcome God. Choosing the child is more than just providing an example of innocence. Children in the 21st century world didn't count. Unlike the child-centered families of today, in the first century, so many children died before the age of 5, many were never given a name. Jesus chooses the lowest of the lowly, the biggest nobody in their world, as an example of who the disciples should offer hospitality to as a way to welcome God into their life. Servanthood, humility, and hospitality are to be the marks of their discipleship. And in this upside-down kingdom, where the last shall be first, Jesus is not just talking about human children. He's talking about the little ones of the world, those who live on the margins, those with no status, no power, no income. In today's world, that could be the scary-looking, disheveled, smelly street person. It could be the socially isolated person on the far right or far left of their political party, the one who wants to hammer you with their words of condemnation for all who don't believe as they believe, about gun rights, immigration, the best way to care for the earth. Jesus says we are to welcome them as bearers of God. A few months ago, the care team here at Calvary was getting ready for a healing service that would begin in about 15 minutes. People were setting out candles in the windows, setting up prayer stations, arranging candles for lighting during the service. I was going over the assignments of those who would be doing the readings when someone, voice filled with urgency, interrupted me, saying, "Could you please come with me? There's someone who needs your help." Without introductions, I find myself alone with a small woman wearing a tight-fitting striped dress. She begins crying and telling what sounds like a rehearsed story of all of her troubles. She has slipped in through the unlocked side door of the church to beg for help. As I walk her out of the sanctuary and toward the door, I'm wondering how long and what will it take to get her outside quickly. It was one of those moments that seemed to stop time. And it was filled with equal parts of fear as well as the potential for love. It has been said that we cannot love and serve an invisible God without loving and serving our visible neighbor. In the middle of getting ready for the healing service, some of the care team members stopped what they were doing to help the young woman. The young woman who inconveniently appeared in our midst, not judging her worthiness, but as compassionate kingdom builders giving generously of their worldly treasure. We cannot separate our spiritual life from everyday living. Everything we do is an expression of who and what we are. With humility and courage, may we put our baptismal vows into action, seeking to serve Christ in all persons, and in doing so, welcome the one who sent him, the one God who is the greatest. Amen.